Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. This is episode 77. Host is Marty Jones and produced and edited by Owen Woods. And we're joined today by Esteban Salazar and Jesse Casillas from San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. Before we start talking with our guests, though, I want to be sure to thank Don Richmond for the music that you hear during the podcast and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. So Esteban and Jesse are here from San Luis Valley Great Outdoors to talk about, among other things, some exciting scheduled events starting in March 2026 regarding birding. So Jesse, Esteban, tell us what you've got going.
Well, thank you for having us today, Marty.
Thank you guys for joining us.
And what we got going on is starting in March, in March 6th through the 8th, we will be assisting the Monte Vista Crane Festival. And Esteban will speak about what he's doing. And as far as me, I will be leading on the 6th and 7th. I'll be leading two trips at Smith's Reservoir State Wildlife Area, and then on Sunday, one trip.
Okay. And at what times?
I believe the morning session is from 9 to 11, and the afternoon session is from like 1 to 3.
And where do people meet for that?
They are going to meet me at the north entrance of Smith's Reservoir State Wildlife Area.
Okay, so this is associated with the Crane Festival?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's right, Marty. Just to kind of add some context to this working partnership that we have with the Crane Fest this year, Jesse has connected the festival director with a number of really invested birders on the Front Range who are going to be leading guided bird outings in addition to him. And all this information can be found at the Monte Vista Crane Fest website. I think it's montecranefest.org. In addition to the guided outings, which the Crane Festival hasn't been able to do in the last year, I'm going to be hosting a couple of historically and archaeologically themed outings. Many people aren't aware of the very interesting Spring Creek or Miller archaeological site on the west side of the Monte Vista Refuge. So we'll be doing a guided outing there, and we'll be talking about the prehistoric history that was found there and some of the artifacts that have been documented and how it relates to prehistoric occupation of the area. And that'll be on Saturday the 7th and Friday the 6th.
And where do people meet for that?
We're still working on the details.
Or do they have to sign up in advance for each of those tours that you guys are talking about?
Yeah, that's right.
Register on the Crane Fest website?
That's right. So that's where you would go to find that information with the full schedule, start times, and also the links to register. I understand that there's no cost associated, but this is just a way for us to kind of manage participation. I think Jesse can speak to the group size that's ideal for a bird outing and giving a quality experience for the participants. I think, you know, the number range that we're looking for is to cap things at 12 to 15 people so that the people who are there can learn and have their questions answered. And it's just a really, really exciting thing that we're, enthusiastic to be involved in, and it's going to kind of be the precursor for us launching our March and April regular bird outing schedule.
And Jesse, can you speak to those bird outings that SLV Great Outdoors is sponsoring?
Yes, we will be starting in March 14th at Smith State Wildlife Area at 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., taking them through pretty much all the area we can walk through, which would be the west, the south, and the east part of the east, because the east of some of it will be shut down for nesting, and you can't get back to some of those places.
Right.
And then the 15th, I will be at Shriver Wright State Wildlife Area from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. And I have to admit, I'm going to have to get out to Shriver because that's one area I haven't been to yet. And then the 21st on Saturday, we're going to repeat and go back to Smith State's wildlife area. And then Sunday, Shriver on the 22nd. And then on the 28th on a Saturday, we're going to do Smith's State you know, wildlife area again from 7 to 9. And then on the 29th on Sunday, Russell Lake State Wildlife Area. And I've been to that area. It's a very beautiful area.
And for folks who don't know where these are, Smith is just south of Blanca.
Yes.
Right? And the Shriver Wright State Wildlife Area is between Alamosa and Monte Vista, just off. Or wait, is it on the Home Lake Road?
Yeah, you got it, Marty. I think it's designated as the Three North. So that's, or the locals, we call it the Soldier's Home Road. So it's just maybe about a mile and a half north of Home Lake and the State Veterans Center.
Yeah, so on the 3E.
That's the 3E. Thank you, Marty. It's on the west side of the 3E, about a mile north of Home Lake. And if you haven't been there before, you really ought to check it out. It's unique for a number of reasons, but one of the key things that sets it apart from some of our other viewing areas is it does not experience a seasonal closure for nesting. So it's open year-round, and the proximity to the water, to the Rio Grande, to the lakes, and those oxbows are just really is prime bird sighting area.
And Jesse, in March, are we going to start seeing some migrating birds coming through?
It's very possible. I mean, birds have a mind of their own, and they'll travel as they will. And with the weather being as warm as it is, it could give them a false sense of, hey, you know, spring's here, let's go and migrate. So it's very possible that you can see some specialty birds coming in a little early.
And that leads us to a discussion of the changes that we're seeing in winter weather over the past decade or so, and is particularly pronounced here in the San Luis Valley this year, where December was the warmest December in recorded history.
Yeah, that's right.
Or at least we're not talking European recorded history, but in Colorado recorded history.
Yeah, that's right, Marty. Really, really unnerving to go out there this time of year and not see snow cover in the high country and see, you know, a relative lack of any kind of snow accumulation. This really ties into everything in our community, you know, the economy for our farming and ranching groups, you know, the impact to outdoor recreation. Things like, you know, you and I were chatting before the start of the program about cross-country skiing and snowshoeing. And if you're an enthusiast of those two activities in the winter, well, there hasn't been much opportunity at all to engage in those things.
Right. And has this affected the bird life that you've been able to see this winter, Jesse? I know you're a real birding enthusiast. Has the lack of snow caused some birds not to be here that would ordinarily be here, or vice versa?
Well, if there's a lack of water, you're not going to have the waterfowl that would normally be here through the winter, and they will travel somewhere until they find the water. So, yes, a lack of water can impact whether you're going to have birds or you're not going to have birds. And it's just the way it goes at times, and you always hope for water for certain areas because, you know, waterfowl, you can see them from the winter, from pretty much November to all the way to February. But if you don't have no water, then you're really not going to have a lot of the waterfowl. You have what you call dabbler ducks that sit on the surface and just stick their head in the water. And then you have diver ducks that actually go down and will grab little fish, crayfish, or, you know, whatever they can catch to eat.
Right, right. Well,
yeah. Well, Marty, I wanted to mention a couple things in line with the conversation. Anecdotally, you know, I've been a lifelong resident of the San Luis Valley and living on the west side of Valley in Del Norte. You know, when I was a kid, we'd have real snow days when, you know, the city plow and the county plow just couldn't clear the roads soon enough or quick enough. And I remember seeing, you know, these massive piles of snow in the middle of the medians, you know, where they were able to carve out some routes for the vehicles to pass through. But I think what we're seeing is a progression, and you know, the scientists and the climatologists, they reference a phenomenon called dust on snow, and really what it speaks to is the snow accumulation in the high country. Traditionally, I remember seeing snow in the Sangre de Cristos year-round, and you just don't see that anymore. And what that does is it creates an environment where the snow acted as the accumulation of snow would reflect the solar rays back into the atmosphere, and prohibit the warming of the ground. And when we don't have that snow in the high country, the snow that does fall is harder to stick. But then it's a progression of things that happen when things traditionally warm up in the spring, and we're seeing more dramatic runoff and flash flooding happening earlier in the year. It's not as gradual. It's not staying in the high country, and it's not accumulating in the high country. So in terms of how this is affecting us here in the state of Colorado, or even in, the greater continental West, as we've seen some really dramatic flash flooding that has, you know, shut down huge infrastructure projects. I mean, I-70 outside of Glenwood Springs washed out a large section of I-70, and it really shut down the highway for a number of weeks until CDOT could get in there and repair it. And similarly, just maybe 3 or 5 years ago, up by Yellowstone National Park, their big access road was washed off, and that was definitely correlated to erosional impacts and flash flooding that we hadn't seen, and all this water is running down the watersheds a lot faster. So, you know, it's very interesting to look at these things, and of course, it is anecdotal, but there's something to be said about this rapid change in a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah, certainly when we're thinking about geologic time, this is happening very quickly. So we can adapt to some extent. And I know that one of my adaptations for this winter has been doing a lot more cycling than I typically do, because the weather has not been snowy. There's a few places you have to watch out in the bike lanes through Alamosa, because that little snow that we did have, everything got pushed from the streets into the bike lane. So you have to be a little careful. But I started recording my bike rides in a spreadsheet back in 2015. So not that long ago, about 11 years. I've never had as many miles on my road bike in January as January of 2026.
Wow, that's very fascinating. And in terms of other outdoor recreation opportunities in the winter months, I've been talking to friends about when I was a young person, my father used to take me ice fishing in Rio Grande County National Forest and some of these high mountain lakes. And it's very interesting. This used to be a sport that a person could engage in, you know, maybe 10, 12 months, or excuse me, weeks out of the year when things were cold. And, you know, there's ample ice on the lakes. But now what we're seeing is in certain lower elevations, I think, for example, Mountain Home down in Costilla County just got safe ice, right? And we're almost, you know, completely out of the winter months. You know, we're in February now. And
yeah, we only have a month and a half of winter left.
And you know, the folks that, you know, occupied those places in December and January and were fishing frequently, it makes access to those activities a lot more complicated and more dangerous as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, we hear stories about folks on the Front Range going out on thin ice and falling through. So we don't want any of that here. So, yeah, the winter time is definitely not quite the same as it used to be. Even 35 years ago when we first moved to the valley, things have changed a lot. But let's get back just for the closing minutes of this to talk some more about the birds, because we talked about the activities that you have going on in March, Jesse, but you also have some scheduled in April as well.
Yes, we started our schedule in early April, and it's going to continue through. But right now, me and Esteban have to sit down and think of times, dates, and locations. And in April, the 4th of April, I will be at the Inner Outer Oxbow Trails from 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. And that is a I've been there, and that's actually a really cool little trails to walk. There's different ways you can go to see the different type of birds you want to see.
Yeah, and on the Oxbow trails, it's not uncommon to be able to spot owls.
No.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. No, they usually have...
And porcupines, too. So, just be a little cautious. I mean, it's not a bird, but it's still fun to see them long as you're not too close.
In fact, I think one of the times Esteban and I went to the Mom Trail after we had departed, I went and actually found a porcupine sleeping in the tree.
Uh-huh.
That's what they usually like to do, is when you see them. So it was pretty neat. And to continue on, the Sunday the 5th, we'll be at Home Lake from 5 to 7 p.m. And that's a pretty cool little place. I was there with John Rawinski and Lisa Clement when we were doing our big day back in May. And it was a pretty cool little place to bird. Nice little pond.
Lots of pelicans. I'm surprised about the number of pelicans out there in the spring.
Yeah, you can generally see pelicans twice a year here in Alamosa on the Blanca Vista ponds in the spring and then in the fall as they're passing through.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and then the next week you have a couple more.
Yes, on Saturday the 11th of April, we'll be at Smith State Wildlife Area from 7:30 to 9:30 a.m. And Sunday the 12th, Monta Vista National Wildlife Refuge from 5 to 7 p.m. And it seems like we do have a lot of Smith State Wildlife Area, and the reason for that is pretty much all from April to October, I lived there. I was there twice a day, almost every day, 3, 4, 5 times a week. And I got to see a lot of very interesting and very cool birds. And you get to see when you're out birding that you may not see the same bird the next day that you saw the day before. You might get a whole new set of birds out there. And that's what, it was really an interesting place. It's like just a diamond in the rough that I had found and had a lot of very interesting birds.
And you've seen a lot of different species of birds.
At Smith's, yes, I have. I've at least have logged over 170 different species of birds and you know, getting a couple of the specialty birds, shorebirds. You know, I saw some long-billed curlew towards the end of July. And they're usually, if you see them that day and somebody says, oh, they're here, you better get out and go see them because most likely the next day they're going to be gone.
Right.
But this set, 7 of them were there to almost September, almost a whole month. We were seeing them every day, and it was just like, wow, that's really neat.
Huh. That's cool. Well, that's one of the beauties of being so familiar with one area that you can... You can keep track of things over a long time and help others discover what's exciting about that.
Absolutely. That's the truth about it. You know, and I have an app that's called eBirds that I've logged all my birds. So if I need to go back and check what I've seen there, I can go back and check on my list at that particular time of the year or date or whatnot and look and say, okay, this is what I seen, and then compare it to the list I saw today. Or and go, oh, okay, the difference is I saw this, this, and this that wasn't there last year at this time.
Right. So,
Marty,
go ahead.
Yeah, I just like to add one more thing. Something I think is really exciting about an ongoing partnership that SLVGO is establishing in this birding program with Friends of the Refuge and also the refuge itself. And that is we're working through the administrative process so that Jesse can be certified to operate refuge vehicles on site.
Oh, nice.
And we're hopeful after we get that taken care of that we can start scheduling, you know, throughout the remaining months, clear up into September, some at least a monthly outing at one of our refuges that could be the Monta Vista Refuge, the Alamosa Refuge, or the Baca Grande Refuge. And what that means to the public is we're definitely going to set these up so that they're RSVP, but it would allow the participants to maybe view some parts of the refuge that they wouldn't typically be allowed to see. So
right, and there's some things there that you would not expect.
I would like to give a shout out to another group that we are working hand in hand with, and that's Ramble Great Outdoors. They have a campground that's in just around the Great Sand Dunes, and I will be leading groups for them in partnership with San Luis Valley Great Outdoors.
Great. So before we wrap this up, can you guys give us the contact information? How do people learn more about these opportunities and get in touch with you?
Yeah, great question, Marty. So you can find this information online at our website. That's slvgo.com. And if you'd like to register or RSVP for any of these outings, you could reach out directly to me. Phone number is 719-580-9532. And my email address is estevan@slvgo.com.
And that's estevan@slvgo.com.
You got it.
Thanks, Esteban. And Jesse, what about your contact information if people want to learn more about the other opportunities?
My contact information is, my cell phone number is 720-297-6465. My email address is jcasias@slvgo. And I also have a Facebook page called Birds of San Luis Valley that I will be posting a lot of the trips that we're taking onto that page for other people that might be interested.
Great. All right. Well, we've been speaking today with Jesse Casillas and Esteban Salazar from the San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, talking about some upcoming birding opportunities. Thank you guys for coming in. It's been great having you here.
Thank you, Marty, for having us.
And we'll be right back after we take a quick break to hear from sponsors. You're listening to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast.
Looking for the freshest food in the valley? Introducing the new SLV Local Foods Directory, where you can meet your neighbors and eat better. From colorful potatoes and crisp greens to farm-fresh eggs, dairy, and meat, find exactly who grows your food right here in the valley. Support local, eat fresh, and strengthen our community. Are you a local farmer or producer? Add your information. Visit elmasacitizen.com today and discover the freshest food from the heart of the valley.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen. Here's some outdoor conditions for you. Warm and sunny in the day and cold at night. That's the forecast for the next week or so. Even though the clairvoyant rodent, and you all know who we're talking about, saw his shadow and predicted six more weeks of winter, the San Luis Valley is mild for now. Keep in mind that groundhog lives in Pennsylvania. They've had more of a winter back east than we have, that's for sure. Despite a decent storm at the end of January, the Rio Grande Basin is still in the low range of snowpack at 50% of median. As we continue our coverage this winter into spring, we will be highlighting climate change's effects on the San Luis Valley and taking closer looks at the odd weather patterns we're seeing. 50 degrees in February is about as odd as it gets. 50 degrees in January is also pretty damned odd. We'll be diving deeper into the whys and the why nots. Stay tuned. And now for some news. Runners ran abreast of the not-so-frio Rio Grande last weekend. Even though the river wasn't frozen over, the skies opened and snowed on runners and walkers and delivered that snow all day. We have a full recap video on the Alamosa Citizen YouTube channel. Del Norte high schooler Mads Kreutzer won the 5K race with a time of 19 minutes, 10 seconds. Whew, that's pretty fast. The Great Sand Dunes National Park and Preserve will host a Scientist in Parks paid summer internship program and a Southwest Conservation Corps paid internship position for the 2026 summer season. The Natural Resource Management Assistant position, offered through the Scientists in Parks program, will work with a resource management branch, which includes the park biologist, archaeologist, and geologist. The intern will assist with ongoing scientific research, inventory, and monitoring of park conditions in the field. Monitoring, data collection, and reporting for dark sky conditions will be a primary focus. The intern will also work directly with the Interpretation, Education, and Visitor Services branch to prepare and present dark sky and astronomy-themed public evening programs. They will also assist park rangers with public information and engagement at the visitor center and on roving field patrols in and around the main dunes area. This scientist in parks internships runs for 12 weeks from late May to mid-August, coinciding with the many summer breaks at schools and universities. This scientist in parks internship runs for 12 weeks from late May to mid-August, coinciding with many summer breaks at schools and universities. Applicants from the San Luis Valley are highly encouraged to apply. This position is ideal for degree-seeking college students, recent graduates, or current high school students who have taken science and/or communications coursework. Applications for the position will be accepted until February 15th or until 60 completed applications are received. Potential interns are encouraged to apply early. For more information and to apply, visit go.nps.gov/grsa_jobs. For specific questions about these summer paid internship opportunities, contact Park Ranger Luke Anders at 719-378-6342 or luke_anders@nps.gov. Colorado Parks and Wildlife made the decision to not reintroduce the next round of wolves in 2026. This decision comes after the latest wolf death in northwestern Colorado and the October letter from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service alerting Colorado that its transport of wolves from Canada is in violation of the Endangered Species Act. CPW said it will continue to make all management decisions on a case-by-case basis after evaluating the circumstances, the Colorado Wolf Restoration and Management Plan, and relevant law. Until next year, CPW said it will continue working with livestock producers and stakeholders in the state, addressing conflicts as they come up and responding to any events of wolf conflict that happen. The agency said it is continuing to explore options for where wolves will come from in the 26-27 window. This is a complicated effort, and I want to encourage all stakeholders to continue to work together as we move toward the goal of creating a self-sustaining population of wolves in the state, while at the same time minimizing conflict with livestock, said CPW Acting Director Laura Clellan. And now a look at some calendar events. The second Sip and Science event is February 27th at the Trade and Post in Del Norte. This session will discuss the water beneath our feet and dive deeper into groundwater. In partnership with the Rio Grande Headwaters Land Trust, it's part of a series of events that shines light on our natural resource systems and beer. Sip and Science in the SLV is a year-long series designed to help the community learn about the natural systems that define our region. Each of our sessions focuses on a different environmental topic that directly affects life here in the San Luis Valley. The event is free to attend, and you can listen to our January conversation with Jocelyn Catterson about the initial Sip and Science event. And you can find that on alamosacitizen.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up in a month, the 43rd Annual Monte Vista Crane Festival, March 6th through 8th. Celebrate as tens of thousands of sandhill cranes migrate through the San Luis Valley and fill the skies and the pastures with their prehistoric song and dance. Crafts, local art, speakers, and tours, it's a weekend filled with community engagement and lots of birds. And as you heard earlier, Jesse Casillas will be leading a couple of tours. You can sign up for those tours at mvcranefest.org. The keynote on Saturday is by author and cartoonist Rosemary Moscow for a humorous exploration of birds that blends art, science, and history. Learn why cartoons can help conserve our beloved avifauna. Discover the shocking secrets of common species and what they can teach us about ourselves. Tickets for all of these events are at mvcranefest.org. The annual Congreso de Acequias is March 7th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Centennial School in San Luis. The Congreso is held to celebrate land, water, and community. It too is free and open to the public. The Rio Grande State of the Basin Symposium is Saturday, March 28th at the Adams State University campus. The symposium's keynote speaker is Colorado-based journalist Ben Coldfarb, whose work has appeared in major national publications, including The New York Times, The New Yorker, Smithsonian Magazine, The Atlantic, The Washington Post, Orion Magazine, and National Geographic. His books include Eager, The Surprising Secret Life of Beavers and Why They Matter, published in 2018, and Crossings, How Road Ecology is Shaping Our Planet, published in 2023. It is free to register to attend. You can find a link to register in the SLB Outdoor Report on alamosacitizen.com. And applications are now open for the 2026 Colorado Trout Unlimited River Conservation and Fly Fishing Camp for youth conservation and fly fishing. The fishing camp is a week-long outdoor learning experience for youth ages 14 to 18. The camp will be held June 14th through 20th in Almont, Colorado, and focuses on fly fishing skills, river ecology, conservation, and leadership. The San Luis Valley Trout Unlimited chapter is proud to sponsor two local students to attend this camp on a scholarship. Interested students and families are encouraged to apply. The deadline for applications is March 1st, 2026. For more information or to inquire about scholarship opportunities and information on registration, please contact Kevin Milder at slvtroutunlimited@gmail.com. Camp details and applications are also available at coloradotu.org/youthcamp. And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. The Outdoor Citizen is produced and edited by Owen Woods, published by alamosacitizen.com. You can listen to the show wherever you stream your podcasts. If you have an outdoor adventure you'd like to share, or if there are topics you'd like to hear about in a future episode, please send an email to info@alamosacitizen.com. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. And it's February. March is a month away. Typically, we get more snow in March than we do in January and February. There's still a chance for us to get some snow, so continue, folks, doing your snow dances. Get some more moisture in the high country, the valley floor, wherever you can do it. But in the event that we don't get the snow and we continue to have these warm weather, get outside, enjoy the weather, experience it. Adapt however you must. But until next time, this is Marty Jones saying, catch you in the out of doors.